This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here we go. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys news coming up in 20 minutes. Here's Woolchuck. It's time for the NFL news of the day. Tell us about it, Wooly Bully.
All right. So much draft stuff to get into as we are just 17 days away. And a lot of the buzz on the quarterbacks right now. And we had the pro day at Colorado on Friday during the show. Now, what's going to happen? All right, a lot is really going to pivot at number two because number one, it kind of seems like we know what's happening. According to NFL.com, the Titans met with quarterback Shedeur Sanders' camp at the pro day on Friday, but they agreed to cancel his private workout following the Colorado pro day.
Yep.
This, not a slight on Shedeur. Nope. I think they just know they're taking Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So why waste anybody's time here?
Sure.
So it seems like you can pencil in Cam Ward, number one overall, to the Tennessee Titans, unless somebody also covets Cam Ward and they want to make an offer that Tennessee values and they end up pivoting back. But it seems like Tennessee taking Cam Ward, quarterback into Miami, number one. So then what happens at number two overall? Where here's Diana Russini on the Scoop City podcast with Chase Daniel. I had thought the whole time, because listening to people in Cleveland, even today I saw Cleveland radio putting out there, what are they doing? They got to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They need a quarterback. Well, here was Diana Russini and Chase Daniel talking about what the Browns could do.
What are they doing? I really think the Cleveland Browns are going to be the team to decide what the heck goes down in this draft.
Oh, no doubt.
Shedeur Sanders? Perhaps they're in on him? Or they've got a Kirk Cousins thing going. I always thought, early offseason, oh, they're going quarterback. It just makes so much sense. I had some conversations in Cleveland. It was very apparent. It's quarterback. And it's shifting. Now that I'm back from owners, it's shifting.
I don't think they're going to take quarterback, Diana. I don't think that Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart is worth the number two overall pick. I just don't.
To me, that is the question mark of this draft.
It is. And it all kind of hinges on that. Do they go quarterback? Do they still take Shedeur? Which I think would probably be the smart move. Or do they pivot? Now, according to many NFL execs, they now believe that Travis Hunter is the favorite to go number two to the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
It does, and I guess Dion talked with Browns owner Jimmy Haslam. This is what Coach Prime had to say about that exchange.
Pleasant. It was charming. It was engaging, and it was cool. It was all right. He's a good guy, and I like him. I like him.
Coach,
I think one of those guys is going to be there.
There you go. He thinks one of those guys is going to be going to the Browns, so whether that's Shedeur or that's Travis Hunter. So right now the favorite – It was Abdul Carter a week or two ago. Now it's pivoted to Travis Hunter. I still think that they're going to go quarterback. I'm going to die on that hill. And if they don't, I'm wrong. You know, it is what it is.
I think the fact that the owner came out and admitted so adamantly that they messed up on signing that quarterback from Houston, that I think that they're convinced that they could maybe, let's just wait. Let's see. Let's see what happens. You know, let's see what happens in the top of the second round. Let's see if there's somebody, you know, maybe there's somebody here that, sure, we'll take a second round guy, and, you know, maybe we won't have to make the investment in the guy as much. I think teams are really split about Sanders and Dart. Just talking to teams around the league, there's some teams that absolutely love Shador Sanders, and there's teams that think that Jackson Dart's a better player. I mean, not by much, but they said if you given a choice, they'd say, well, we'll take Dart over here. So maybe the Browns have the same questions.
Sure.
That, you know, like this is not surefire, but, you know, maybe Milrow or somebody like that makes more sense for them at the top of the second.
Absolutely. Now the question will
be, our second, right? I got to make sure of that though, right?
What?
In the second round? As I say that, no, I got to make sure Cleveland has their picks. That they have it.
Yeah,
traded.
I believe Cleveland still has their second round pick, because I think I saw Daniel Jeremiah today was also saying the same thing. Like, he thinks they'll take a quarterback.
They do. Okay, good. God, I thought as you're saying that, you're thinking, yeah. Wait a minute.
No, they do.
Did they?
Yeah. So he said he does think Cleveland takes a quarterback, but the same thing, they might just wait till the second round.
I think so too.
That might be the play. Now, the new favorite to get Shador is the New Orleans Saints
at pick nine. Yeah.
And they have been doing a lot of legwork on these quarterbacks. So if Shador fell all the way to nine, I don't think he'd fall past New Orleans. I think the Saints, that would be a smart move for them to go ahead and take Shador there. But he is the favorite, followed by the Giants and then the Browns. So those are the top three teams to land Shador.
Would you want to go to the Saints, Brian?
Oh, you know me. You're asking me because...
Take my Louisiana love out of it.
No.
Kellen Moore there now?
No. Now, you could say this about Kellen Moore and what he did for Hurts.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and how he... So, if you're a fan of Kellen Moore and working with Dak Prescott and working with Hurts, and hell, maybe he's working... Me, personally, though, the organization overall, no.
It was just Sean Payton and Drew Brees holding them up for two decades, and now they're back to being the paperback Saints.
I kind of feel like that's kind of the way we're going right now. Now, but if you said me and my love of Louisiana, absolutely.
Well, so Shador maybe to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then you brought up Jalen Milroe in the second round.
Yeah.
Well, our buddy Dane Brugler, he said he's accepted an invitation to attend the draft in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Now, I guess they do have players that are going to be there for both days.
But nobody wants to be in that green room through the draft and have to stay overnight.
Sure.
And then be around the next day. So he must have somebody that's talking, maybe Pittsburgh at 21.
See, he's right. Like, the only reason you're accepting that invitation is if you're confident, you're probably going to go round one.
Absolutely.
So maybe.
You don't want to be that guy hanging around.
Maybe it is Pittsburgh. And I think he just had some more visits today.
Or if somebody's trading into the round.
Yeah, maybe somebody trades up. So the Saints and the Browns also had meetings with him that were described as positive. So maybe that could be Cleveland.
Yeah.
Takes Travis Hunter at two,
right?
Could they trade back into the first round?
Yeah.
And go get Milroe.
Yeah, you have to be. We've kind of played this game, haven't we? A little bit where we tried to take two guys. You take. Would you rather Shador Sanders or take Hunter?
Yeah.
And say Milroe. Would you rather have Hunter and Milroe or just Shador Sanders?
Right.
Kind of feel like I would rather have
Hunter and Milroe. Now, the fascinating thing with Travis Hunter, we've talked about, like, can this guy actually play both ways? I know you like him a lot as a receiver.
Snowing in Detroit, by the way, while this game's going on.
Oh, there's a lot, big snowflakes. And we might have that tonight for the Rangers game. We'll talk with Chris Young coming up at 4:15. But here was Coach Prime.
It was cold last night here.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
Oh, yeah, this morning it was chilly.
Yeah.
I woke up in the middle of the night. It must have been 62 degrees in the house, and I felt like it was 20.
It's wild. Like, we had a low of 39, I think, today.
Wow.
So, it definitely got chilly again over the weekend.
Beautiful right now, though. Gosh.
But Coach Prime with the NFL Network, he was with Baldy, and I think it was Steve Weish. And Steve asked him about Travis Hunter, and here was the back and forth there.
Okay, now you know the NFL wear and tear. I know he played 111 snaps, but I mean, I'm just,
how's the wear and tear?
You as a coach, let's say the mental wear and tear.
Can I make my case?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. NFL is a slow game. You go into a huddle.
You're not running a play every 16 seconds, like in college.
It has the contact nowadays. Minimal.
Mm-hmm.
So that game is more conducive to him being successful than a college game.
Okay.
Because college is tempo. Now you talking about you got to be in shape. Pros, this is at least how many seconds between plays? Please, he's going to go jogging after the darn game because he's
some replays.
There you go. He's going to have all that energy, man. He is built for this. And you would be an idiot to sit out there with your defense on the field and your corner's getting killed and he's on the sideline by you.
Mm-hmm.
What you think those fans are going to do? Boo, first of all, you're already going to be bad because you drafted him early because you're already bad. Let's get that straight. You're already a bad team. What you think those fans are going to do when he's sitting over there with you and the corners are getting bombed?
I can't wait to see what the plan is for if he goes to Cleveland, what they choose to do with him. Because he is such a weapon with the ball in his hands. It's hard not to put him on the offensive side of the ball. But I do think he's just got a rare feel and understanding and processing ability as a defensive back to where he can also impact the game that way by possibly becoming so good. Now, he would need to, I think, to become the best corner possible.
Work at it full
time. Really full-time work at the craft.
Yeah, I agree. Either position, wide receiver or corner, either position, he could become an all-pro at that position. Yeah. Whatever one they commit him to first and then let him do the others is going to win you games. The full-time stuff is going to make him a potentially like a Hall of Fame type player.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with Deion. You know, I at least want to give it a shot playing on both sides. But, I mean, Deion's kind of being selective in what he's choosing about that question and that particular answer. He's talking about endurance, right? Yeah. Like, is Travis Hunter capable of producing oxygen at a high enough level that he can play both sides of the ball for 3 hours? Yes. But he's also, what, 190 pounds?
185.
We're talking wear and tear. Yeah. He was injured in both seasons at Colorado. One was a lacerated liver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one was a separated shoulder, which both sound like I got dump trucked type of injuries, you know. Yeah. So
And Deion's talking about the physicality of the league. I mean, it's still physical.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't tackle quite like they used to with some of the new rules.
What Deion is not incorporating is that this kid's got to play four more games than he does in college.
Also a great point. Plus training camp.
That's the
plus
preseason.
I want to see him try. You know,
He will.
And maybe for the first 3 or 4 years of his career, he can do it. And as he moves into his mid to late 20s, it doesn't. But go for it.
He's so excited.
Yeah.
He's such a unicorn. I mean, he is a one of one. There's no question. Abdul Carter is going to meet with the Giants this week. So that would make. I mean, hey,
man, did they bust on Thibodeau?
I don't know.
Did they bust on the guy from Carolina that they brought over?
Burns. Like, you'd think that would be...
these guys can't draft.
Yeah, they've been really bad in the first round.
Neighbors, but my gosh.
Yeah, they've been poor in the first round. Like, Thibodeau has had flashes, but he hasn't been consistent.
No, not for the, fifth overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, we thought maybe best player in that draft class. And whether it's injuries or whatever.
We're talking about either.
He broke out in 2023, but then he couldn't follow it up.
Right. And now, you know, the fifth-year option, that's up in the air, and they're not sure, would he even re-sign there as a free agent? But Abdul Carter would be like an old-school Giants pick.
Yeah,
I mean, they're always looking for defensive line and let you get pass rush. But, boy, if Shador ends up being there at 3 and it's Travis Hunter at 2, again, it goes back to what you've been saying, Brian. That is a front office now that realizes we have to find a way to win now if we want to save our jobs.
They don't have time to develop players. They have to get guys that are ready made and go now. That's the only way they save their jobs.
And I think Carter would probably end up making Thibodeau and Burns better. Either Hunter or Carter would be great. Sure. If you're trying to win now, and I think the Giants are starting to look like they could have a pretty nasty defense.
Hunter and neighbors would be a crazy conversation.
If Hunter
got passed, yeah.
If he did, if he goes past Cleveland, yeah, that'd be scary. I would hate to have Travis Hunter in the division twice a year. The big story that went over the weekend, and I reached out to you to ask the gang about this. So, Brian, I know you got some more info on this. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Glenn talked about the New York Jets head coach that Brees Hall's in a good place, but the Jets plan to use a 3 running back approach.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to go running back by committee. They've also got Braylon Allen, whom they drafted. They've got Isaiah Davis as well that they want to get touches. And Rich Samini had the report that like maybe the Jets could look to trade Brees Hall.
Yeah.
So immediately Cowboy fans, then, you know, anybody that becomes available, we get asked, oh, what do you think about that? I don't think Dallas would be interested personally.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, this is the last year that Brees Hall has on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be trading for a 1-year rental running back and then have to pay the running back when this is an extremely rich running back draft, Brian. I mean, we can go into the fifth round and find guys that we like still, maybe even the sixth, and go ahead and draft your dude this year. If it's in the first round, cool, you got him for 5 years. If it's in the second round or later, you got him for 4, and he's an affordable price. But I know you reached out to find more information on this Brees Hall.
Yeah, I had a guy tell me from the Jets. He says, we're not typical Samini. Is that his name, Samini?
Yeah, Rich Samini.
Yeah, he overstepped his column there, is what the guy at the Jets said to me.
You never want to overstep.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Jags have picked up the fifth-year option on Trayvon Walker, whom they took number 1 overall. He's racked up 20.5 sacks over the past 2 years. So started his career a little bit slow. and picked it on up. Raiders have also released cornerback Jack Jones. They were trying to trade him. That didn't work out, so they've moved on. And some more draft nuggets for you. Todd Bowles, Buccaneers head coach, they've made it crystal clear they need cornerback depth, and they're going to address that in the draft. So while you look at corners, Tampa Bay might be a spot that we look at for some of these guys coming up in the
19, right?
Yeah, so, hey, maybe a Will Johnson from Michigan slides there. Maybe Jahdae Barron from Texas. Maybe that's an area where we've been hoping, like Siobhan Revelle, the corner from East Carolina, slides. Is Tampa interested there? Benjamin Morrison, the corner from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Maxwell Hairston. A
couple of guys coming off some injuries, yeah.
Maxwell Hairston, a corner from Kentucky, I've seen mocked in the first round because he ran so well. So maybe he's a guy that goes up. But Tampa,
good player, though, too.
He is a good player. Tampa's another one to keep an eye on when it comes to corners in the draft. And Dolphins, five-time Pro Bowl left tackle, former New Orleans Saint Terron Armstead, did officially announce his retirement over the weekend after 12 NFL seasons. Five-time Pro Bowler, one selection as a second-team All-Pro, 131 starts over the course of his career. Congratulations to him on an outstanding NFL career, and looking forward to whatever he does in his future.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Good text coming in. 903 says Hunter's too fragile to play both sides of the ball, let alone one side at 100%. If he played both ways in the NFL, he would not last 2 weeks before getting hurt. There are smaller guys who just have an ability to roll off hits or the way they go to the ground, right? Like, just because you're small doesn't mean you're going to get punished and be injured all the time in football, does it?
No, he is really good at finding ways with ball in hand as he runs. He knows how to get down, avoid, make himself really small, and not take as many punishing hits. The thing I worry about cornerback is if they take the ball and just go right at him. They run at him, they throw at him, they kind of wear him down.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Because there's going to be a point in time where he's just not going to want to. And he's a guy that likes the contact, but if that shoulder, which he's had a problem with in the past, starts to get a little sore, he might be worried about that.
And at that point, if durability is an issue, do you think switching to wide receiver would be?
I told you this earlier. I play him at wide receiver to start. I just think he's more valuable to you as a wide receiver. His ability to make plays, to keep drives going, to score. I think he put so many points on the board. Yeah, people could stay away from him. Yeah, the good thing is, he can maybe travel with. Yeah, we'll see about that. But I think he's more valuable to you as a receiver. But I would understand why people want to play him at corner. He's really good.
Rangers president of baseball operations, Chris Young, is going to join us coming up in 1 hour, 4:15. CY is going to jump on here. We'll talk Rangers as they get set to visit the Cubs tonight. Pre-game's coming up at 6. A lot of draft scenarios are out there. Which one makes the most sense for your Cowboys? We'll hit a C-note here. Cowboys news of the evening's coming up next.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. Rangers baseball is coming up at 6. They're in Chicago, where earlier today it snowed. And it's been snowing in Detroit as well, although now it's sunny in Detroit. So they're going through some really interesting spring weather through the Midwest, and the Rangers will be inconvenienced by it this evening. So, hopefully they have the same kind of results they did in Cincinnati, where the cold didn't bother them, taking 2 of 3. This team's rolling. 8-2 now, top record in the American League. Best ERA in the American League, worst batting average in baseball. So it's just unbelievable. When you look at the extremes and the storylines, to have these kind of injuries and this bad of a batting average and to be sitting in first place at 8-2, it's awesome. So now they just need to start hitting and doing more sustainable things and just hold this first place AL until September, and I'd be good. Okay. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And it's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Okay, I got an NFL draft big board report edition here of the Cowboys news of the evening. I'm going to give you several different scenarios, Brian. You give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down on it. Same with you, Wolchuk.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Inside the Stars, Mario Herrera Jr. He's posted three picks for you, possibly at 12, that you know could be reaches. But he says these might be no, these aren't reaches. These are the other ways. These are high floor picks.
Oh,
okay,
floor.
Safer picks. Safe floor. Picks. LSU, Will Campbell. Defensive tackle, Walter Nolan. Penn State tight end, Tyler Warren.
Safer? He said Walter Nolan?
Yeah.
Campbell, Warren, yes. Nolan, hang on to your rear.
Yeah. I mean, Nolan, there's a lot of talent there. I can understand why scouts and teams would be very interested in him.
More ceiling than floor?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think that he's. You're going for the upside. That's an upside pick. Upside, I think Tyler Warren, absolutely. Yeah. I think he's going to be a good player. How good, we'll see. And with Campbell, same thing. But I wouldn't put Walter Nolan in that.
You think Will Campbell's going to for sure be good?
I'm pretty confident Will Campbell's going to be good.
I think he's a 4-year starter at LSU. Yeah. He's played in a lot of huge games. Yeah.
I think, at least for me, I'll say I've overthought it a little bit with Will Campbell.
I agree on that.
That might be the thing that I want, you know, an offensive lineman at 12. At times in this draft process, it's felt like we had to give up on that, like there was no way they're going to take an offensive lineman. Where are you guys at with that right now? Do you, like, consider offensive line a legitimate possibility at 12?
I think it's a possibility. It depends on how the board falls. I mean, there hasn't been as much buzz about offensive linemen as there has about wide receiver or running back or, you know, heck, maybe even corner. But I still think if there's a lineman that falls that they like, and they have visited with Kelvin Banks from Texas, who
and
might
Jonah
be on the board.
Jonah from Zona.
Jonah Savania from Arizona. Yeah, that might be a second. That might be a 44 type player to look at. Yeah. Caleb Rogers from Tech, who would be a day 3 selection. I've got him in the 5th round. But yeah, I mean, I think like an Armin Membu, who they haven't met with, I don't know if they like, but if he's there at 12, that's a dude who's been a top 10 guy.
He is the one guy that I just keep seeing going up the board. I saw in a mock draft today, I forgot who it was, someone reputable, but he's, Membu's, they got him going all the way to New England at 4.
Wow, that's something.
I mean.
It's a crazy jump.
Quite a climb.
Yeah, he started near the middle, the bottom of the middle, and then it's top 10. Top 10, top 5 is the way he's
20 years old, super athletic.
Yeah. Teams are loving him.
Yeah.
Did you mention the Matthew Golden invite to the draft thing?
No, I didn't.
Okay, he got an invite as well. Does that reveal anything? Like, you know, how likely is it the Cowboys take him at 12? You have to get some sort of a confirmation somebody's going to take you in the first round. You just mentioned that at the top of the hour in NFL News of the Day.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want the Cowboys to be taking Golden because I think his speed is incredible, but the production in college just wasn't there. I think you're gambling on a trait, and I can't be doing that at 12 right now. What do you think?
I think there's people, this is going to sound really terrible. I think people are saying it's more of a gamble to take Tet McMillan than it is take Golden.
Because of his lack of speed?
Oof. Yeah.
I mean, it's a fifth of a second slower.
I mean,
maybe a quarter second.
Let's say this. Okay, and you guys hear me out on this one. What does Dak Prescott need? Does he need a guy that can separate, or does he need a contested catcher?
Contested catcher.
Yeah. I would think so, too.
And I think they lack
But everybody, that. Everybody here is like talking about Dallas needs a separator. That thing with McMillan, that's not a 50-50 ball guy. That's a 70-30 ball guy.
Yeah.
He's coming down with it 70% of the time.
That's his ball.
You know, that's just his ability to go get it, that volleyball background, Hawaiian kid, you know, go up and just attack it.
Well, Dak's been up and down throughout his career when it comes to the deep ball, but I think for the balance of it, he's pretty good at the deep ball. You know, if you could say we're going to go downfield a bunch and once a month he's going to have a 60-yard bomb, then I'm for that, you know? But I don't see Dak throwing to guys who have separated between levels with anticipation ain't happening.
That's what everybody's saying, that Dak needs a separator.
No.
But Dak throws more tested balls than anybody in the league.
Yeah.
That's just the way the receivers are.
And that's the way the offense has been designed a lot.
No doubt.
Yeah. You know, is more stationary receivers. And I think that is due to the comfort level of the quarterback.
Yeah. He's never had, I mean, outside of Dez, like a player that size, that physical, I think to me it's not even close with Tet and Golden, but there are people that I do know that like Golden more.
But the reason I come back to offensive line is I can't wait on this line. Now, maybe internally they're thinking these guys are going to be really good. Year two, Beebe and Guyton, and yeah. We know Steele can be good in the run game. We'll do something at right guard, but we're going to be good. And if they are confident in that, that's fine. From my perspective, I would not have confidence in the offensive line. You ain't going to win anything. You're not going to win jack bleep. Unless you can keep Dak upright for 3 seconds and run the hell out of the football. Right now, they can't do either of those things, Wolchuk. I don't know why you're not going offensive line harder with me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm always for offensive line. The issue is, I guess, I mean, who would they take at 12? I'd love them to go Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State. I do think in the second round at 44, there's guys that will be available, like Jonas Savania, who we just talked about from Arizona. Yeah. I think he's going to be a good guard. I like his play style a lot. I think he's mean. He's meaner than Membu is.
Yeah.
But maybe Tyler Booker is a name that we haven't heard that he's been a visit. They're not done with their 30 visits. The right guard out of Alabama. Do they like him? Yeah. Is he a guy that they'd consider at 12? Because I think if you go offensive line, it's specifically a guard. That'd probably be the top name.
The fact that they brought in Banks, to me, might even consider a trade back for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, we talked about that on Love of the Star, which is out now on Saturday. Like, same thing with Burden.
Yeah.
Could Burden be just as a possible trade back?
Yeah. I like all the UT players, man. Give me the defensive tackle in the corner and the running back that can catch.
Yeah.
Okay, we go to Katie Drummond, Cowboys Wire. 3 draft prospects for Cowboys to reach for before their perceived pick range. He's the guy that did that angle. Okay, would you like these moves? The safety Malachi Starks at 12, cornerback Darian Porter, Iowa State, 44. Edge David Walker, Central Arkansas at 76. If that was their draft haul, Wolchuk, would you be disappointed or excited?
I wouldn't love that. Wouldn't love that.
I don't think I'd be very excited.
That start with Starks at 12 there?
Yeah.
I mean, I want a star safety, but I just haven't heard enough about Starks to think that he's going to
be Starks. I think he's a good all-around player, but the second round pick there with Porter, I mean, that's a special teams guy that's really had 1 year of starting and 6 years in college.
Okay, how about this trio? Brian Martin, Blogging the Boys, gives you his ideal first 3 picks. Tet McMillan, then Alfred Collins, the defensive tackle from Texas, big run stopper to replace Mozzie, and the runner from Tennessee, Dylan Sampson.
I'd be happy with that.
You just did a 1, a 3, and a 3 for me.
Oh, really?
That's what you did, yeah.
Alfred's a 3 on your board?
Yeah. And I don't know, Zach, maybe
I've
you're...
I got him at the back of the 2.
So, yeah. You definitely helped yourself, though. But I think there might be some guys maybe a little bit better there. But I think you just did a 1-3-3 for me there.
Comp pick news is in, guys. It looks like a possible 6 for Trey Lance and a 5 for Jordan Lewis next year. So we'll keep our fingers crossed there that it's as good as possible. Maybe Trey Lance will go in there and start, you know, play a bunch of games and have success and you know, make the pick even better. I just feel like the Cowboys have overestimated this comp pick strategy where we're going to get these extra picks for letting some guys go and we're not going to sign other guys so it won't hurt our comp pick formula. But, I mean, they've made it work and, you know, have some good things to show for it over the years. Was Dak a comp pick? Dak was a comp
pick? He was a comp pick. 4-135.
So I guess I can't be too sure of that. I don't know where you'd be without the comp picks if you ask me further review. Chad Reuter's latest mock at CBS. He has the Jets taking Jackson Dart at number 7, guys.
Oh, it's juicy.
What if the Raiders don't take Jenty and the Jets don't? Would that just leave the Bears?
That would leave the Bears.
Between you and Ashton?
Yeah, that would leave the Bears. Yeah.
That could be fun.
It could be.
Okay. That'll do it. Cowboys news of the evening here. In the G-Bag Nation, what'd you say, 17 days till the draft, and we're getting very excited here. It's 2 weeks from Thursday, basically. And once again, our staple draft event for you is back, Draft 101 in our fan showroom here, Essential Expressway 4131. You'll have Broadus with Wolchuk plus Belt teaming up with DallasCowboys.com. Draft talk, debate, questions, dinner provided by Whataburger.
That's great.
There's going to be lots of giveaways.
Oh, yeah. Giveaways.
Completely free. All you have to do is show up.
We're giving away our information.
Yeah.
So this is Draft 101. When is this?
The 17th.
Thursday the 17th.
Thursday the 17th.
Yeah. Okay, so a week out from the draft.
Yep.
Right.
I love it. I've attended a few of these over the years, and they are freaking amazing. It's awesome that it's free, and it's happening here in our performance showroom, so it's going to be really comfy. And salute to our buddy Trav over there at Whataburger for making Trav's rain burgers.
Dude. Yeah.
It's going to be raining burgers, fries, probably shakes. And that's how he likes to do it when he shows up. Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, hey, the ESPN's put out some superlatives for these players, and I'm going to pick them off the Cowboys 30 visit list. We'll do that next.
Shoot, yeah. Welcome back, Nation. I love coming into Metallica, especially all the stuff like 94 and before. You know, you get back here in the late 80s, early 90s. Now we're really rocking and rolling. Speaking of that, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this as well. Lucius.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your photos of you having fun on vacation.
Yeah, man. That was the second week. The first week, I was in a remote location.
I noticed.
Ducked off.
You ducked off?
I was ducked off, bro. Yeah, gone. But
you came back, and everybody that
I was on that Aaron Rodgers vacation. You
everybody
know what I mean?
That was part of your
vacation. Out there in the woods, charging my mind right.
Yeah, it was part of your vacation. Enjoyed the margaritas and tequila along the way.
Yeah, that second week, man. I'm drying out right now from that second week. It was a whole lot of tequila, a whole lot of margaritas, and the lady wants to order the big stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, just get the biggest one. We're on vacation.
Yeah.
I was like, well, still, you know, still same money, baby.
Yeah.
We're on vacation. Go ahead.
I was sitting there like going, okay, that's, I see the order to drink like that. That'd be kind of, you didn't share that with anybody, right? Was that just?
That was me and her and I.
Oh, did
you? We went back and forth with that one.
Okay.
I ended up doing most of the work though.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was talking.
It looked like you had a lot of fun, but great to have you back.
Thank you, man.
Seriously. All right. This is from ESPN. This is from Matt Bowen, and he gave some superlatives. And what I wanted to do was, these are the players, and he put them in different categories. But I took the angle of Cowboys, a 30 visit, or somebody that maybe came in for Dallas Day. So that would be like Ashton Jeanty. You know, we're still trying to kind of figure that out. I got 14 names so far for the 30 visits, working on the other ones as we speak to try and that's something that's never easy to obtain, but I'm doing my very best to try and make that work. But anyway, I'm going to go through these superlatives and just kind of walk you through what, you know, what we're looking at here, what these guys potentially could bring, and you know, why. And maybe Zach, you can help me if you agree or disagree on some of these guys. There's quite a few of the offense and defensive guys, and we'll start off with the offensive side of the ball. They have the most explosive runner is Ashton Jeanty. We've all kind of known that from the word go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even I do.
Even Dawson, yep. Scout
Hell
Gavin.
Yeah, you do.
Scout Gavin knows that one. Best short area burst, Quinshon Judkins.
Okay.
From Ohio State.
Yeah, he is quick, and he does have short area quickness. It's the long speed with Judkins that he lacks a little bit.
Yeah, with the burst to dart through traffic, Judkins can hit the second level quickly and find the end zone on goal line carries. He had 14 rushing scores for the Buckeyes last season.
Yep.
Best short area quickness burst, Quinshon Judkins. Most powerful rusher. That's Omario Hampton.
Okay, Hampton, sure.
Is who that is. It's 6 foot, 221 pounds. Hampton has north-south traits to deliver body blows at the point of attack and the leg drive to push the pile. He had 1,660 yards last season, average 3.7 yards after contact per run.
And another one that I'd throw in there is Jarquez Hunter from Auburn.
Yeah.
Little dude.
Well, like, these are the 30, like you say, these are the 30 visits.
You're going specific, like these
specific
guys.
Yeah.
Just another runner who's powerful.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you at all.
He does
too.
That.
I would also say, too, our guy from Syracuse.
Oh, Quint Allen?
Allen. He's another one of those run until he hears glass break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a guy. Have you seen, speaking of Allen, have you seen anybody that catches the ball? I mean, have you seen a team use their running back like Heat? Use Syracuse, use him as...
They throw him the ball quite a lot. I would have loved SMU to have used Breshard Smith a little more.
Okay, this is where I'm at next, because the most elusive runner in this draft is Breshard Smith.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of last year with Tyrone Tracy Jr., because both guys are converted wide receivers.
Sure.
So they're a little bit, you know, young at playing running back. But yeah, I mean, you get him in the open space. He's pretty darn effective, man, with Breshard Smith.
Yeah, Smith, he ran a 4.39 40. He evaded 39 tackles last season.
Amazing.
That's tied sixth nationally from that. So good for him though. But they vote him as the most, or they say he is the most elusive rusher in this draft. And your Dallas Cowboys are looking at him. Best pass blocking back in this draft. Would you like to take a guess who that is, Zach?
It's probably, I would say, Genty or Travion Henderson.
Travion Henderson is that guy. Henderson stands up to blitzing linebackers and protection using pro-level techniques and aggressiveness to keep his quarterback clean. With 77 career receptions at Ohio State, he has the profile to play on third down early in his NFL career. So not only you got a guy that can tote the mail, you got a guy that can catch it, and you got a guy, I really don't see this guy coming off the field.
No, he might sneak into the first round.
Is he the, okay, let me ask you this. Where do you draw the line of the last of the workhorse running backs? The guys that don't need, is that, did I put you on the spot there?
No, but with that, I mean, one? The list has grown. I will say the list has grown. Probably, oh, geez, maybe like Damian Martinez.
Miami, right?
Out of Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last of the
which would be like probably a solid 10 guys.
Do you feel like, though, that there's a sense of urgency for Dallas to grab their running back in the first three rounds instead of waiting to the fifth?
I think they need to by the third.
I think there is a sense of urgency.
Yeah, there should be, because we saw like in the fourth round, there's a good chance that you get picked over. So now you're looking at like in the fifth. Okay, you cannot wait. Ollie Gordon?
Yeah, you cannot wait from that pick all the way into the fifth round. Yeah. I mean, there's just too many.
You're going to see too many good backs go.
Too many. Okay, let's get into the wide receivers. Best at getting open. That's Abuka from Ohio State.
Hell yeah.
Smooth, savvy route runner, can make himself available to the quarterback. 81 passes. 10 touchdowns last season. He was considered open or wide open 80 of his 108 targets, Dawson. That's per ESPN tracking.
Holy cow. Just gets it done.
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake. Best on 50-50 balls. Dawson, who is that?
Best on 50-50. That's got to be Tet McMillan.
That's Tet McMillan. It is.
There you go, Dawson. You're paying attention.
I swear, I'm by the time draft rolls around, I'm pretty much an expert on the first round guys.
You got it down.
Yeah. I'm available for radio interviews, by the way. If you know anybody
if you come on by the 17th, we'll give you a burger and you can talk some draft.
Might need you.
I like to say Travis.
That could be fun.
Travis will come with some onion rings and a shake. You don't have to worry about that. My man does not just show up with burgers. He shows up with the full
meal. Oh, yeah.
The full meal. All right. More smooth than fast. McMillan uses a 6'4 frame to outleap defenders on 50-50 throws. Over the last three seasons, Arizona, he's had 40 contested catches, included 15 in 2024. Best after the catch. Here's another visit to the Cowboys.
Luther Burden.
You want to tell us why?
Yeah, I mean, that's his game. You put the ball in his hands. He is the explosiveness is rare with him. He is a violent. He really is like a running back with the ball in his hands. The Debo comps, they kind of write themselves there. But he's a dude, you throw it to him anywhere on the field, he can turn it into a touchdown.
I watched him today a little bit. I was watching, who was I watching? Missouri was playing somebody. I was watching Boston College, and he made like four or five plays. So I stopped watching the Boston College guy and started watching more Luther Burden. Okay, best O-line quickness.
O-line quickness?
This
is that Kelvin Banks?
Kelvin Banks from a 30 visit. Banks has the foot quickness and ankle mobility to gain depth on the edge in pass protection. He could redirect on the mirror in interior rush moves. On 510 pass blocking reps last season, Banks allowed just one sack.
It's impressive.
That's sweet, sweet ankle mobility, man.
You got an ankle flex.
Check the ankles. That's what Eric likes to say.
Ankle flex. Okay, let's shift to the defense. Best interior pass rusher. Again, these are 30 visits for your Dallas Cowboys.
If it was an interior pass rusher, are they going with Alfred Collins?
Walter Nolan. An explosive mover with juice off the ball. Nolan is a chaos creator. He could rack up splash plays as a three technique. He had 6.5 sacks last year. His game kind of comes and goes, though. He's just, I mean, you marvel at some of his plays, and then you're like, is he on the field? So that's what's
consistency issues.
Yeah. Best pursuit range.
Best pursuit and range.
This is a deep.
Are they going Shamar Stewart?
They're going Shamar Stewart here.
He is a pursuit guy.
At 6'5", 267, Stewart is a rangy mover with lateral speed to hunt down ball carriers and pursue as a defender. He can do this, man.
Yeah, he's a hustle player.
He is a hustle player.
He's not quit on plays.
Yeah. He's a 4.59 in the 40, 40-inch vertical, 10-11 broad jump. So he's got the athletic testing numbers for sure.
Best in pursuit since Roscoe P. Coltrane and Flash, Brian. I know you appreciate that reference.
I do. Absolutely do. All right. How about this one? Best run stopper.
All right, that's got to be my guy, Alfred Collins.
That's Alfred Collins right there with his long 6'6", 332-pound frame. Great play strength and plenty of awareness. Collins has the makeup of an early down run defender who can win at the point of attack. He had 11 run game stops and 52 tackles on run plays in 2024, and he fits multiple NFL fronts.
Yeah. It's crucial for modern defenses to have this player. You don't see him in Mozzie. I would take this guy at 44 if he's there, and then if Mozzie does come together, then you got two of them. Okay, and you're pushing people over like crazy over the next 2 to 3 years until you got to pay one of them. But
I love it.
This allows you to stay a nickel a lot easier if you got one of these guys that can take care of the run.
Yeah. When you watch him play, I was amazed of really how active for that size he really, really is.
He moves super well. I mean, he just shows
There's no way he gets to he there's no way he gets the third round. Why do I have him in the third round? There's no way.
I mean you see flashes to me of Chris Jones a little bit in the way he plays.
Oh, geez.
I really see it.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying he is, but he has moments where because he can rush the passer too. He can push the pocket inside. He's not just a run defender, but he is special at that.
Is that because of his number? Doesn't he wear 95 as well?
He does.
So you see the Chris Jones?
So the swim, the quick get off that he has there, the way he's able to take on double team blocks. But yeah.
Brian just accused you of getting okie-doked by the number, though. I think it's what just happened right there.
No, I am. Chris, with my eyes,
said,
tell me.
He said, I see Chris Jones, and then I was like, ooh, is he going to tell me about Chris Jones here? And then you're like, I don't know, man.
Well, no, I mean, that's high praise. We're talking about the best really defensive tackle in the NFL outside of Aaron Donald for a decade. So I'm not trying to put that type of expectation on him.
Absolutely.
But he's got moments where he can dominate.
Okay, well, Chuck, take Ashton Jeanty out of this equation, right? Take him out of it. Of all the guys that I heard, and Dawson heard, who's the one guy that you really, really want? After hearing most powerful, short area burst, you know, range, all those things, best after catch, who's the guy you want?
It's Ted McMillan.
Is it?
I want Ted. And then after that, it's probably Travion Henderson out of Ohio State.
They could pull this thing off where they could get both those, couldn't they?
I think that'd be ideal. And I think we had a mock last week somebody came out with that had him getting both.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a home run draft if you could come away with both those guys. Because what you just described with Henderson, three down back, doesn't have to come off the field,
right?
Has been in a committee, so it's not like he's had a ton of carries. Special. Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Getting so excited for this draft, which is 2 weeks from Thursday. Our path to the draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Join us at all Pluckers locations Thursday, 4:24, for our annual round one draft party. Okay, we got a hot hour coming up. We'll talk about what we've learned about the Rangers through the first 10 games, but CY is coming up 4:15 sharp. So we'll get you the Rangers news and then a chat with the president of baseball operations here next, fam.